Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and he said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Well, good morning. We have been in a series called Servants of the Lord, and each week we have looked at what it means to be a servant and how that can impact our daily life if we decide to choose in. Today we're going to look at a parable, another one of Jesus's stories, about how it is that we have gifts and talents. But first, I wanted us to come back to God creating, because it's important as we think about us being servants. I want us to focus on our calling, our purpose, and the places where we belong in God's kingdom and with him. We were created in God's image. In the image of God, we were created. Male and female, we were created. All that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has, we have. We are image bearers of the King. So, interesting thing I found out this week. You Google image bearer, and it's actually really beautiful what it says. I didn't know if it was going to go with Jesus and God and his kingdom, or if it was going to give me something else. And this is exactly what it says. An image bearer is a human being created in God's image and likeness and given the task of reflecting God's nature and character to the rest of creation. This can be done through a variety of actions, including work, rest, and play, relationships, staying pure in heart and life, living for God, loving loyalty to God, filling the earth with beauty, and using gifts and talents to show God's creative nature. Amen? So now, before we go any further, I know we already did this, but this is part of my nature. So here's the deal. We are going to stand up one more time. But this time, when we introduce ourselves, I don't want us just to say, hi, I'm so-and-so, or hey, what's your name? I want us to declare that we're an image bearer. So for instance, I would go up to my daughter Mercy, although I do know her already, and I would say, hi, I'm Allie, and I'm an image bearer of God. All right, friends, I'm not joking. Let's stand up and do it again. You may be seated. Great job. There was like an eruption of image bearing. Great job. The parable of the king's 10 servants. While they, Jesus' followers, were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied, because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, your mina has earned 5 more. The master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, "Sir, here's your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth because I was afraid of you, because you're a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and you reap what you did not sow." His master replied, "I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put money in on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest?" Then he said to those standing by, "Take this mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas." "Sir," they said, "he already has 10. He replied, "I tell you that everyone who has more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who didn't want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me." Well, this story was directed to those still questioning Jesus and his kingdom. They were wondering what Jesus was really up to because things weren't playing out how they had intended. But Jesus often used parables to explain the simple lesson that shares a moral or spiritual truth. It is told in a way that those listening could understand better. This parable comes at a turning point for Jesus. Jesus is in Jericho. It's his final stop before he officially enters Jerusalem for the last time. Jesus is aware of what is coming ahead of him, a final meal with his best friends, betrayal, arrest, beatings, mockery, and eventually death. Those following Jesus still didn't fully understand what was happening. They were hoping for that political leader that was going to take down Rome. They wanted someone that would dominate, that would overthrow, and would finally put Rome in its place for all the oppression they had caused. And Jesus continues to reassure his followers and those listening that he is the hope of the world, that he truly is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that he is ruling and reigning and will continue to rule and reign, but not just over those Romans. It was going to be for all, and it was going to be forever. Jesus was actually going to have to leave for a while, and his followers were actually going to have to live a life that represented the kingdom of God. His followers were going to have to step into being an image bearer. We are image bearers. Jesus didn't want to leave people with a bunch of question marks. He wanted people to understand their purpose and God's purpose is within his kingdom as they waited for his return. The followers of Jesus had an active role to play. They had an active role to play for God's kingdom to move. They had an active role to play to show how powerful and just God can truly be. And that kingdom, well, it was going to be more powerful than Rome. It was going to be more powerful than Israel. And friends, it's going to be more powerful than America being great. In this parable, there was a nobleman named Jesus, and he was about to leave for a trip. Before he left, he called in 10 servants, and he gave one mina, which is about $14,000 per servant. His only request was to multiply it. While the nobleman was away, he was made king. And there was a group of people that didn't want that nobleman to be king. There were a group of people that didn't want Jesus to be king. The religious leaders had a lot to say about Jesus being king. Jesus wasn't strong enough. He can't overthrow Rome. Jesus was too judgmental. He had a lot to say to those religious leaders and their judgment. Jesus was too lenient. Did you see who he hangs out with? Sinners, prostitutes, gamblers, tax collectors, drunks. Jesus cared more about the heart than he ever did about following the rules. And the religious leaders cared more about the rules than they ever did the heart. Anyway, nobleman Jesus returns and he asks to meet with 10 different servants so that they can share how they multiplied his money. The first two servants did exactly what the king said. The first multiplied it by 10, the second multiplied it by 5, but then the third comes forward and says that, well, he didn't lose it, but he also didn't multiply it. And his excuses are he feared the king. The king is too strict. The king's impossible to please. The king pushes too hard. And the truth is, the servant felt the king didn't work. He didn't work hard for his own money. So why should anyone else ever have to work hard for him? The king was furious. The king generously gave to 10 of his servants. The only request that the king had was that they would multiply the money. The servants had the freedom to do it in any way they wanted, but they had to choose in. They had to multiply it. It was the only request from the king. So like I hinted at the beginning, this passage actually has nothing to do with money. And it has everything to do with the gifts and talents we've been given. This passage is about our spiritual gifts. God has entrusted us to be image bearers. He has entrusted us to reflect his nature and character. He's entrusted us to allow others to see, experience, encounter God through the gifts and talents he has given each one of us. So no, these are not birthday gifts. They're not necessarily Christmas gifts. They're the things that are in us, that are wrapped inside of us. They are the things that make us who we are. They are the things that naturally flow from us. They're the things that make us feel fully alive and fully present. They are the things that make us feel like we were made to do this. For some of us, it might be how we use our words. We encourage, we teach, we pray, we start conversations, we bring people in, we lead, we ask great questions. For others of us, it might be how we use our hands. We serve, we cook, we build, we create fun, we organize, we clean, we heal, we prepare. For others, it might be our brains. We listen, we create systems, we are wise with our finances, we innovate, we plan, we learn, we discover, we're curious. For others, it could be how we interact with people. We share joy. We show compassion. We bring people together. We walk alongside of people. We're empathetic, and we're people of peace. I could keep going, and in all honesty, at one point, I was like, I'm just going to keep asking, what other things are gifts and talents? But the truth is, each one of those gifts and talents is a part of who God is. Each one of those gifts and talents is God within you and I. Each one of our gifts and talents is how people get to encounter Jesus. The gifts and talents within us are entrusted for us to do something with and to multiply, to magnify, to make God famous. So if you know anything about me, maybe even a little, maybe you can tell in this moment, you're like, I've never met this woman before, but here's the statement. I like people. Maybe not terribly shocking, and that could actually be an understatement. I love people. And I love spending time with people. God has had to teach me not to spend time with people because I would much rather spend time with people than not spend time with people. But one of the things that I've realized in that is that I actually feel a significant responsibility when I'm with people. I do love people. But I also understand that when I'm with people, I get to encounter God's kingdom because of what God's doing in them. And my hope is they're encountering God's kingdom with me. One of the cool things with me loving people so much is that it's one of my gifts. And I would actually say it's a gift that's been passed down from generation to generation. I got to experience and realize that with my own family, my parents, and then my family, Mike, the girls and I, we get to do that together as well. So when we invite people in, our hope is that we're together encountering people. So I care deeply, maybe too much, if a person gets a drink when they walk in the door. I want to make sure they feel comfortable. I care deeply that people have places to sit. I care deeply that everyone has a place at the table. I care deeply that every voice is heard. I care deeply that people are invited in. I care deeply about those things. Now, to some, it might look like, well, the Cran fam just really likes to have a lot of fun all the time, and they can't be alone, and blah, 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 blah. And true. I'll just be honest with that. We do like to have fun. But my hope is that as we encounter people and invite people in, that the rootedness that Mike and I have experienced because of the rootedness of my parents, because of what God did in my parents, is the rootedness my kids get to experience, and that they get to encounter adults and other kids that represent the full heart of God. And before you know it, now we have the body of Christ in our living room, and oh my, could the kingdom be on display. So those are things for me that are my gifts and talents. But the truth is, I could also not choose into that. I could care more about just people having fun than actually thinking of it as a responsibility from the kingdom of God. I could care more about a person having a drink in their hand than them actually taking a sip of heaven while they're in our house. But I care that people encounter God. I have a friend, and one of the things I learned from her is that every single time people come over, she is praying and asking that the Lord sets up the space for what's about to happen. Even if his name isn't mentioned, the truth is her understanding is the kingdom of God's coming because she's there. And because she's alive, he's alive. Some of you know that I decided to take a job at a local school district this last year. If I'm honest, the opportunity felt wrong. When I heard about it, I couldn't deny, though, that the Lord was up to something, because the truth was all the excuses I used were the exact things the principal said to me, which is why he wanted me to consider the option. Anyway, after my interview, I very specifically heard the Lord say, it's your gifts and talents as a pastor that they need at the school this year. In my role at the school, I get to help students learn how to emotionally regulate. And I get to support and encourage teachers. It's an honor, and it has become a blessing. However, in October, I was very much convinced I had misheard God's invitation, and I was pretty sure I was not going to be staying past the semester, if I could even make it that long. The majority of my job at that point was me responding to crisis calls and needing to take students out of their classrooms. What I realized in that moment is that I am actually not created to do triage. I was shocked to learn that about myself, if I'm honest with you, because for 20 years I've been doing ministry. And for 20 years I have had the honor and privilege of walking into some really hard situations with families, with students, with individuals. But as I reflected on that reality of my 20 years, the truth was those were just moments. They were just seasons. And to do it all day, every day was a lot for me. I was also very shocked by that because my sister is the assistant chief of the Pella paramedics, and she is a paramedic herself, and she's in triage all day. Why can't I be in triage all day? It should run in our genes, right? It doesn't. Anyway, I kept asking the Lord, and when I was finally ready to share that I was leaving with the principal, I heard the Lord say, wait. A few days later, I ended up having a strategic conversation which allowed me to begin to step into more of my gifts, creating spaces for teachers and students to feel seen and known and received. I was given permission to innovate, to write and create curriculum, to teach, to lead students in groups, to meet more regularly with teachers, to be a sounding board and an encourager. I also got to partner a church with our school. And their prayer ministers came in and did prayer ministry for the teachers that wanted. Can I tell you something? Almost every school in that city has since had prayer ministers. Anyway, the waiting revealed how at school I was being asked to use my gifts and talents. And they were the ones that had grown dormant inside of me. They were the ones that had fallen asleep, but they wanted to be sparked and encouraged again. Because they were the gifts that make me feel fully alive. They are the gifts that make me feel like I was made for this. In the school, I could set the table for people to encounter Jesus without them even knowing. My screensaver is Jesus's face, and the amount of times I have a student see my screensaver and they're like, "You love Jesus?" And I'll say, "What makes you say that?" And they said, "I see Jesus on your phone. So you go to church." And I say, "Yes." And then we can have a conversation because they want to talk about it. At school, I get to share Jesus simply by loving and allowing the gifts and talents he has given me to be used to the fullest. At the beginning of 2024, I was reflecting back on 2023. It's a practice that I have been encouraged to do by my spiritual director. So we'll start a new year and she'll say, "Let's look back. What was God up to? What was hard? What was great? What is God speaking over that year?" And for the first time, friends, I heard the Lord say, "You can do hard things." I can do a lot of things. I can actually do anything I put my mind to, what I've realized. But I have never heard I could do hard things. Because the truth is, when it comes to hard things, I usually run. I don't want to do anything hard. If it's too hard, then I'm going to go the other way. That was part of the thing with the school. It was too hard in that moment. So peace out. I got other gifts and talents I'm going to go use somewhere else. But God said over 2023, "Allie Cranmer, you can do hard things." Friends, now that is something we're celebrating. The other parts of that are that although I can do hard things, the truth is all of us can do hard things. And sometimes we need to push into our gifts and talents differently. Sometimes our gifts and talents, we just promote the ones that are easy, the ones that feel the best, but the Lord might be sparking new things within us. Family, I think part of the thing with this parable is we are image bearers and we're entrusted to bring God's kingdom and we have been commissioned, we have been knighted to go use the gifts and talents to magnify who God is and his heart for his creation. The picture I can literally have when I think about this is God taking a big sword out and saying, "You go and be me to the world. I have given all of me to be in all of you. Do something with it, please." We get to prepare a way for him to come move, for the kingdom to be experienced, for healings to happen, for people to not even realize that the peace of God just came into a situation that was chaotic. But it's only if we choose in. It's only if we're willing. It's only if we use those gifts and talents. See, family, if we're using our gifts and talents with the purpose of being known as the best, being known as the expert, being known as the famous person, well, then we're no longer about God's kingdom. We're actually about our own. If we're using our gifts and talents but not considering how our decisions and actions affect and impact others, then we're forgetting that we are God's image bearers. And what we do does impact other people. And our hope is God's hope. And that we need to make sure that they are experiencing his heart. If we're using our gifts and talents to manipulate and control, well, then we're misusing our gifts and talents. And we're using a tainted version that only the enemy has tried to destroy. Or if we're choosing to withhold gifts and talents because we're too busy, too shy, too tired, we're too concerned about what others might think, well, then our worship is truly of man, maybe even ourselves. And we're no longer living in obedient worship to God. And if we're only willing to use some of our gifts and talents and not others, then we might actually be stifling the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit wants to do in and through us. Family, I say all of this because the truth is I'm not an expert. Nor do I think we should work harder. I say it because for so long, I used my gifts and talents in a way that I was convinced brought God glory. Because I truly believe that I was God's servant. I was one of God's devoted and helpful followers. I mean, that's literally what servant means. God's helpful and devoted followers. That is what a servant is. But there was part of me that always knew that I had a choice. I could choose out or I could choose in. However, my servanthood to God would always leave me bound to something. I could serve God, or I could care more about what others might think in that moment. I could serve God, or actually, my leg kind of hurts, and oh, I have an injury, and maybe a headache, or I could serve God and only do it to the people I really like. Or I could serve God and not do it to the people I don't like their opinions. See, my servanthood to God honestly made me feel more like an employee that was employed at will for God instead of a daughter that was bound to Christ as a slave to Christ. See, week two of our series here at Celebrate, Andrew shared the difference between a servant and a slave. And the thing that kept coming to my mind is that a slave is bound, they're shackled, they're tied, they're owned to their master. I think for us to be true servants of the Lord, we need to accept our boundness to God. When God, our master, gives us a gift to use, it's not an option. It's actually something that binds us to him. It's something he's entrusted us with. However, when we choose not to use it, our gift becomes more about us than it does about God. And well, then the truth is that we're now bound to our gift and talent, and we're no longer bound to the Lord. So let me give you a little bit more of an imagery. Worship team, I'm not saying you're bound to your instruments. I'm just going to use it. Okay? Okay, perfect. So let's say that my gift was to play guitar. It's not. When I tried to learn guitar, I laid on the bed and that didn't go well. Anyways, but let's say my gift and talent was playing guitar. And the only time I wanted to ever play guitar was if I was in a rock band in front of a bunch of people because I really liked how everyone cheered my name, Allie, Allie. But the truth is, I didn't care about God. And when people would interview me and they're like, why do you like music so much? I'd be like, can't you tell I rock at it? What if that was true? Well, then I'm now bound to the gift God gave me. God gave me this gift so that I could lead worship. God gave me this gift so that maybe if I am in a rock band, I get to say, hey, guess what? I love Jesus. Let me tell you about a person that redeemed my life. Maybe I have that gift because maybe my past life was full of a bunch of things that I'm not proud of. But God gave me that gift, and now it is a platform that I get to say, you know what, I'm not proud of that. But then I met this guy named Jesus, and he's the best thing that's ever happened to me, and let me tell you about that. And now I get to have some conversations that I don't normally get to have because I have a guitar, and that's my gift. Or I could be bound to it, right? I could hold onto the guitar and just think I'm a really cool rock star all the time. However, when Jesus gives us a gift and he says, hey, you have that gift. Why don't you start telling people more about me? Or, hey, you're in an interview. What really happened to make you not do drugs anymore? There's this guy named Brian Welsh, and he's a part of a band named Korn, and he had a transformation with God. And he now is able to enter into places that some of us may never be able to enter in. Because of what the Lord did in his life, he can go into some of the darkest areas and say, let me tell you about Jesus. And all these people that have worshiped Korn as a band now get to understand what it means to worship God. Can I tell you something miraculous? Brian Welsh from Korn, he would tell people, my greatest high, because he did a lot of drugs, is the high of the Holy Spirit. Come on! That is a redemption story that the Lord is using his gifts and talents to promote and make God famous. He is using those gifts and talents to magnify who God is. And that's what God's saying to us through that parable. Are you going to take your gifts and talents and just hide them away, use them for yourself, maybe use them on occasion? Or is this really about me? Because I've given that to you and I've entrusted you to show people who I am, and I want you to use that. And you know what? When we tap into those gifts and talents, people not knowingly begin to understand and realize that they're experiencing the kingdom of God. And that's what we get to be commissioned with. That's what we get to be knighted with. That's what we get to be anointed with. That's what we get to step into and walk into every single day. Whether we're at church or we're in school or we're at work or we're at home or we're at Hy-Vee, wherever we are, we get to step into that daily. And that's an honor. Because there's the passage that we studied quite a bit when we were looking at Sabbath, right? That his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so often we can be like, oh man, that's a heavy yoke, Lord. For me, at times I can say, wow, you've given me that gift and talent. That's a heavy yoke. I don't think I'm going to use that one. Nope, not going to happen today. Actually, I would rather go to the pool than have to use that gift today. Thank you very much. But what God's saying in that story, when Jesus shares that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, it's never supposed to be on us alone. God is always with us in that. We're yoked together, so we're bound together. He is our master. We are the slave. I know we hate using that word, but it is the true thing. We are bound to Jesus, and so together we get to use those gifts. It's not that Jesus just says, go. He actually says, hey, together, we're going to use that gift. Capiche? Together, we get to use our gifts with the Lord. Together, we get to represent him. Together, we get to pave a way for a new heaven and new earth to be coming and to be restored. Together, we get to do this. God gave us gifts so that his kingdom could come. So his kingdom purposes would be made known, so that we can pave a way for his arrival, for Knoxville, for Pleasantville, for Melcher, Dallas, for Pella, for Marion County, for the U.S. and the world, for all generations to know his name. We get to use our gifts and talents here at Celebrate. Can I tell you one of the best things? Is that here, we get to use gifts and talents in a way that we can even just try them on. You could feel like the Lord is being like, hey, I think you should work with kids. And you get to just try it on. And then maybe that helps direct, like, I like working with kids, but maybe I like reading a story better than doing a small group. But we get to use them at Celebrate. We get to bring his kingdom here. Our gifts and talents should reveal the heart of God, our Father, and the Father's heart for creation, so that the world can know how loving God, our King and Master, truly is. So I guess the true questions I have for us today to end our time is, are we bound to our gift or are we bound to Christ? Because the less we're bound to our gifts, then the more we get to be bound to Christ. As we end our time today, family, what I am going to invite us into is for us to reflect with the Lord first. I believe so many of us are using our gifts to glorify God. If you're anything like me, you're using most of them, but the Lord might be beginning to light some flames that he's saying, there's these other gifts I want you to start using as well. Or hey, there's some gifts you've let fall asleep. I want to revive them again. So I'm going to invite us into a time to respond. And I want us to just sit with the Lord and ask some questions. I'll lead us through some prayers. I'll lead us through some prompts in those prayers too. And if he's revealed at any point that we've misused or unused our gifts with the Lord, well then, maybe it's time to apologize first. Maybe it's time to say that you're ready and you're willing. Maybe it's time to say you want others to experience him. And then I want to invite us to recommission our gifts today. So the imagery I really have is the Lord knighting us. I didn't know that it would be safe to have swords or lightsabers here, so I decided anointing oil was just as good. So what we're going to do is, if you feel the Lord is prompting you, inviting you, then would you come forward and consider recommissioning your gift? And you'll anoint your head and say that these gifts and talents are your purpose. And the exact prayer, there's prayers up here, what they say, I'll read it. Let me read it. So there's anointing oil up here, and it says, Father, I thank you for this gift and talent. Today, Lord, bless the gift and talent to be used for your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. But that's if the Lord invites you. There's no pressure. And then, friends, we're going to end with worshiping. We're going to worship our King and Lord. And maybe the Lord's inviting us to take a different posture today. Maybe it's a posture of submission. Maybe it's a posture that shows that he is the master. But for now, let's take a couple deep breaths and let's pray. Let's inhale together, friends. And exhale. And let's do it one more time, allowing God's exhale to be your inhale. And as you exhale, allowing peace to come into you. Father, King, and Master, we thank you for your deep love. And we thank you that you trust us. You trust us to represent you in your heart. And so, King, Father, and Master, will you examine our hearts right now? Will you examine our motives? Jesus, with the things you've entrusted us with, have we glorified you? Has it been about you? Has it been a worship unto you? Father, King, and Master, thank you for the times it has been. Thank you for the ways that by you entrusting us, we have stepped in. Thank you for that honor, Lord. Father, King, and Master, will you show us where maybe we've missed it? Will you show us if there's things you're beginning to light flames that maybe we've ignored? Will you show us where things have fallen asleep and you're trying to revive? Father, King, and Master, will we be quick to apologize and even quicker to receive? And so, Lord, will you hear our repentant hearts today? And for whomever there's invitations to recommission, Jesus, we pray that your kingdom will come, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.